The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Business Liaisons, Connection Matters, with your host, Treste Loving. In today's thriving organizations, it's all about staying ahead of the curve through strategies, relationships, and forward-thinking ideas. Don't be left in the cold with your business. The next hour is a must-listen. Now, here is Treste Loving.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Business Liaison Connection Matters. And I'm your host, Treste Loving. And as always, I'm totally psyched to be here with all of you. And on my show today, I have a totally amazing, rocking guest. And it's me! Yay! You guys are with me solo once again. And I have a good time when it's just me and you. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about first. It's one of my favorite topics, actually. But it's one of those topics that you better know what you're talking about, because can touch a nerve, and if you don't know what you're talking about, you could really mess yourself up as to be known as the expert or as a true diversity practitioner. So, but I love this topic, as I said. And let me tell you about what I am going to talk about. This is an edgy topic, like I said before, and I love edgy topics when it comes to diversity and inclusion. And this topic is named Diversity Calling All Caucasian Males. And I've written an amazing article about it. I've taught about it. I've trained on it. And I love it. I can't tell you how much I love this topic. So I want to give you a little preface, so you get into the right frame of mind for what I'm talking about here. Diversity Calling All Caucasian Males is for most every organization out there. And I can say that with a great amount of certainty, because I've been to a lot of organizations and I know how organizations are when it comes to diversity and inclusion efforts, and how there is usually a disconnect between Caucasian males and diversity and inclusion. Usually, if it has something to do with diversity and inclusion, it's either given to a white female or an African-American woman or man. And since the majority, getting ahead of myself here, I don't want to give out any more good information, so let me stop. As you can tell, I do love this topic. So let me just jump right back into the topic, and you'll get to hear what I was just getting ready to say. So you know, you hear about game changers. Oh, that's a game changer for this. That's a game changer for that. That's the two new words that I think have been overused already. So I don't like to have just a game changer. I want something that can create a new game, something fresh, something that is out of the norm, something that somebody thought of and it's like, hey, we never thought about that, never thought it could happen. Well, to me, diversity and inclusion are game creators, not merely game changers. Therefore, diversity and inclusion requires everyone to be involved. And I stress everyone needs to be involved in the organization. However, though, today there is still a large group of a race and ethnicity still not totally committed or not totally welcomed into a diversity inclusion strategy. And of course, I'm talking about Caucasian males. And I have three things I'm going to talk about later on, three areas that I'm going to be talking about throughout this. And the reasons that this happens seems to be like, really? Is that the reason why we don't have this? It almost seems something too easy. It's like, who came up with this or who didn't come up with this idea? So let me go ahead and talk about the three that were the three things I'm going to talk about, three reasons why Caucasian males are not included in diversity and inclusion, and give a reason why it's, I'm going to say easy to change because this is what I do, but it's easier than one thinks to change. So the lack of Caucasian males being actively involved in a diversity inclusion situation definitely creates divisiveness. So there's us against them. Not good. That's not going to get your organization to phenomenal success, particularly a global one. That's just going to get you about where you are right now, or about nowhere. I'm not saying your organization is nowhere right now, but you can do that. Do it on your hands. Just say them, us. There's no two, there's no togetherness there. So that is important. And as I said, you cannot attain phenomenal global success if you're in a divisive organization. So here's the first reason that senior leaders do not know. Oh, this is my first reason that diversity and inclusion is not drawn in, or the Caucasian males are not drawn in, or they don't want to be. They feel they don't belong. And it's that senior leaders do not know how to use tools available to them. And that's true. So one tool that I used and changed for organizations to use for themselves is diversity mapping. Now, if you know anything about diversity, and I'm not going to get into some real broad thing, but diversity mapping is actually a tool that organizations use to look outward and to find the perfect person with everything that you want for a position. By name, really, it gets to them by name, their age, what their skill levels are, where did they go to school, et cetera, et cetera. So I figured, now why would you want to look outward first without using those same criteria and maybe a few extra by looking inside your organization? So that's exactly what I did. I used diversity mapping to look inside organizations to help them find the talent they need, because it might be right there in front of them. You know, when you're in it, you can't see it. That's what diversity consultants like myself can help organizations do. When they're in it, they can't see it. So I can see it because I'm not in it. So the diversity mapping, it allows objectivity inside the organization, because you're strictly looking at your employees individually, their skills, their talents, their abilities, their knowledge, and their unique perspectives, which, if you know anything about me, that's what I call stack up. And as I said, it is objective. There is no way that someone can look at that later and say, you guys robbed me of that position because of my race, my gender, my religion, my whatever, because it's an objective look on measurable items, measurable. And that leads to transparent decisions. So there's nothing hidden. Everything is transparent. And we all know how we like transparency today. And it doesn't, no one questions those decisions. If they were resulted in a special assignment, promotion, awards, everything is based on what they've done, and it is based on merit, not the familiarity principle. And people ask me, it's like, what's the familiarity principle? And it's, as far as I know, it's something I came up with. And it is real. And I'm going to invite all of you out there listening to listen to this example, because it's real. And I discovered it as I was sitting in an airport when I was traveling a lot, waiting for the next flight, and I looked at people and where they sat when they were waiting for their flight. And as they were scoping out where they'd like to be and where they'd like to sit, people who looked the same as them, but they did not know them, they gravitated towards sitting in the same general area that person was. And it was like, wow. And then I started looking, and just to look around to see, me included, but usually I don't sit, usually I either sit alone so I can make these observations when I'm at the airport, or I'll sit by somebody else that doesn't look like me just because that's my gig. So I noticed that that was happening. Like I said, I'd say 9 out of 10 times that happened. And I just came to me, it's like, wow. So I took that back, and I started to look at where people ate in a lunchroom. And there's nothing wrong with the familiarity principle, and you can see it in the lunchroom, that people are comfortable, more comfortable with people who look like them. Then I looked in at the organization, and what did I see? At the top, it was easy. People are comfortable with people who look like them. And well, who are them? Currently speaking, Caucasian males. They're still the largest population of senior executives in organizations. Now, if they use the merit system, going back to using also the diversity mapping turned inside, then you may or may not see that. But it's a lot easier to prove out you did not use the familiarity principle when you made the decision. Because you have it right here. You can show it to people. It's like, no, this is what happened. You know, I made the assignment based on this, not because it seemed that I picked someone because I was comfortable with them. But it tends to bear out quite often that that's a thing that happens. And it's not just as in promotions. Like I said, it's in the cafeterias. You see it when people are just on a break talking. And like I said, there is nothing wrong with that until it comes back inside the organization, and that's how you see people. So this is a real good example, I think, of telling the tale of how it's important to see in the organization who makes the decisions, Caucasian males, and what do we need to do, or what would I do in an organization such as that? You know, it's like, if I were queen for the day, but no, seriously, there are some things that can be done to help organizations do the internal diversity mapping, and to also get them to examine if they have any of the familiarity principle existing in their organization. And there are at least two, maybe three ways that I would help an organization who needed this type of clarity and who wanted to bring Caucasian males into the diversity inclusion topic, the diversity inclusion discussion, the diversity inclusion actions that they have going on, the diversity and inclusion strategy, diversity inclusion implementation. Because don't forget, that's what we're trying to do. Call all Caucasian males into the diversity and inclusion world and make them, which we can't make them, but offer them the, I don't want to say olive branch, but offer it to them in such a way where they will feel like they are wanted. And Caucasian males I'm speaking of. And there is one thing that I don't want to forget to tell you about this, is I will discuss later, too, that there should be an offering of them to join diversity inclusion strategies or whatever we're doing. And there should also be them wanting to assert themselves into diversity and inclusion to show that they really do understand it and they know it and they truly want to be a part of it. Not because it's something that somebody said, well, maybe we should, but it's a reason that they really want to get into diversity inclusion strategies. So, as I go into my first break, I will kind of finish up with the three kind of things that an organization can do to help with diversity and inclusion when you're talking Caucasian males and the familiarity principle versus the internal mapping. And then I will go into the second reason that I think that we have to have this diversity calling all Caucasian males discussion. So that's it for me in this segment. So you guys stay tuned and hang in there because I don't want you to miss any of this good stuff I have for you.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
What does a visual workplace mean to you? How does it contribute to operational excellence? And what steps do you take to put it powerfully in place? Listen to The Visual Workplace, Work That Makes Sense, to find out. Each week, Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, visual workplace expert and award-winning author, shares tools and strategies to help you make the workplace speak at a glance without saying a word. Learn to work safer, faster, better, and at far less cost, no matter what business you're in. Tune in to The Visual Workplace, every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business. Are you ready for what happens next? If you have your investments, retirement planning, and business plans all in a row, you're probably set. But are you really all that sure? Listen to In Black and Whites with host Peter Whites. Peter and his guests will cover business and investment topics that you need to know about right now. Whether it's new technology, 401k plans, mergers and acquisitions, we're here to help you. In Black and Whites airs live Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Business. In sales, are you a lion or a vulture? Lions don't wait, they just go for it. Vultures hang around until the lions are finished and just pick up the scraps. How can you set yourself apart as a lion? Join the other aspiring sales lions and listen to Forget Patience, Let's Sell Something with host Ty Maynard. You'll learn the tips and strategies of top sales professionals. You'll gain more clients at a faster rate and at higher margins. If you're a sales professional, business owner, or executive, listen in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. This is Business Liaisons with Treste Loving. To reach the host or guests today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to tlovingsimplified@gmail.com. Now, back to Business Liaisons. Connection matters.
Hi there, everyone. We're back, and you are listening to Voice America Business Channel, and you got me solo. And hopefully you're enjoying what we're talking about right now, which is diversity, calling all Caucasian males. And I started us out with basically what this was going to be about, and I talked and I said there were three reasons why this doesn't happen very often. And I finished up my first reason, and I wanted to just give some tips on if you see this happening in your organization and you don't have a me around, first try to find me, and then if you can't find me, then I want to talk just a little bit more about the diversity mapping internally. And there should be a process, and there are many processes out there. And of course, I have my own process for doing the internal diversity mapping, because I truly don't think there's too many people doing that except me. So it's unique to me. And I would love to help any of you out there who want to learn more about the internal diversity mapping. And I talk about individual skills, talents, abilities, knowledge, and unique perspectives quite frequently. And I can't stress that enough. And being in an environment where you're trying to implement a really strong diversity and inclusion strategy, and you're trying to make sure the inclusion does include everyone and not leaving out anyone, then the diversity map can help you, because then you can talk to Steve or Joe or, you know, Lamar over there and say, hey, you guys, we're, you know, really working on this diversity and inclusion committee, and you three have the perfect blah that we need. So why don't you come on over and help us? We'd love to have you. Instead of all of us over here working on the diversity and inclusion strategy or the next, you know, Heritage Cultural Month that's coming up, and it just so happens to be Women's History Month in March, and you have this whole thing of women over here, and there's like no Caucasian males. Now, why is that? Remember I said there's two reasons why. One, they haven't been invited, and two, they haven't asserted themselves. So that may seem far off for the diversity mapping, but what I'm trying to say is you can use that diversity map, not the everyday employee, but once you know people's skills, talents, abilities, knowledge, and unique perspectives, then supervisors know where people fit and where they don't fit very well. And just by seeing where supervisors put people, then we can see where people are working and kind of what their abilities are and their talents are. And have you ever heard of a conversation? It's powerful. So get up and talk to some people. Ask them if they're interested in more than, you know, IT work. Or ask them if they're more than into management or customer service or whatever it may be. That's the power of using the diversity mapping. And two, I wanted to talk about transparency. And again, how many times can organizations talk about transparency? Decisions need to be transparent. Well, I'm not talking about the transparency in a big way right now. I'm talking about transparency on the everyday working level. And when leaders and supervisors are making those, you know, that's a good position right there, you should take it, or this is an excellent team, you should lead that team, or, you know, that is a high-profile job over there, you should have it. This leads, one, back to diversity mapping, and two, that merit. What is your merit? What have you done to earn those? And what skills, talents, abilities from the diversity map collide for all that to where, boom, that's the person who belongs there. And so this, again, may not seem to be diversity, calling all Caucasian males, but it is. Because when you get a group of people behind leadership, supporting leadership in that manner, to make sure things are fair, things are good, things are, people are not getting something because they don't deserve it, but it's because of their attributes and their characteristics that they have. That's what you want everyone in an organization to back, including your Caucasian males. And finally, I just want to talk just a little bit more about that familiarity principle. In that principle, I kind of felt that I left it a certain way, so I just want to cover it, and then I'll move on to the second point I wanted to make here. It doesn't matter if you sit with people who look like you, whether in lunch, on a break, in the airport. It matters, however, if you sit with the same people at a mid-level supervisor meeting, at a senior management meeting, at a C-level meeting, and of course the CEO looks like you too. That's a little bit much. So I bring up that familiarity portion in these three to link them all together. So people can understand, once people understand the diversity map and all that stack up is there and done, then it's easy to give transparency to decisions because everyone knows it's the right decision based on merit and based on their skills and talents. And the familiarity principle is not seen as just Caucasian males, because they're familiar with each other and they're more comfortable with each other because they have so much in common, obviously, because they're all Caucasian males. Wait till I get to the end of this and you'll see, not true. And so remember that, not true that they all have the same thing together, but people assume they do because they're all Caucasian males. And so we don't want all Caucasian males just staying with all Caucasian males. That's not the full extent of diversity. That's not the full extent of any organization's diversity. So they should insert themselves. They should be welcomed into groups. And hopefully I clarified that because I felt really like I did not clarify that very well. All right. So I want to move into the second reason why Caucasian males may feel left out of the diversity and inclusion strategy. And it's going back to what I just said, actually, that most of the leaders, the senior leaders, and still the majority of the organizations out there are Caucasian males. Now, again, they should not all be Caucasian males. unless it's been transparent, unless their diversity map says it's good, then it may just happen that way. It doesn't necessarily have to mean it stays that way. But when there are so many Caucasian males at the highest levels, others in the organization feel that they're disconnected from the hard-working diversity, the hard-working people, if you will, in the everyday work environment, because they don't really see them as diverse, at least on the surface. So there's a huge divisiveness, once again, in the organization and really in the work environment. So when you have this situation, when diversity and inclusion talks happen, Caucasian males at that level are usually excluded. And like I said, it's because of that huge disconnect they think they have. So the majority of the Caucasian males learn to despise diversity and inclusion while everyone else is embracing it. And I don't mean to laugh like that's truly funny. I laugh at it because it makes no sense. And I'm not sure where they get this reason to despise diversity and inclusion while everyone else is embracing it and enjoying it and having a great time. Because then your organization is polarized. So you have the, I hate diversity and inclusion. And then you have the, we love it, we want more of it, we embrace it. So you have this schism. And it's not going to get closed up any if two things don't happen, right? One, the invitation is offered, and two, they assert themselves. White males insert themselves in it. Now, Caucasian males have that power to do that. Absolutely. And not just talking about the coworkers they have, I'll get to them in a second, but it is imperative that the leadership of the organization insert themselves into all organizational strategies, not just diversity and inclusion, but everything. And for the, if you will, co-workers left in the organization, there should be no doubt that the work environment should be all one team. I'm on your team, you're on my team. There's where the power of diversity really links up, right there. So instead of a polarized work environment that leads to poor production, which leads to poor revenues, ding ding for CEOs and business owners, then they should be worrying about, why aren't you working together? Let's bring this together. I support it. I believe in it. Why don't you believe in it? Why don't you support it? So that's the questions that should be asked. Those are the concerns everyone should have, because that's everyone's livelihood. Poor production, poor customer service, lose business, don't maintain revenue, and people don't like to work there because something's going to happen. Something's got to break, and it won't be from the sea level. Trust me on that one. So what are some remedies to this polarization? And I know I've already talked about a couple of things where Caucasian males are invited to diversity and inclusion strategies, and they insert themselves without being invited into the diversity and inclusion activities. And there is no reason why a diversity and inclusion strategy, a diversity and inclusion meeting, a diversity and inclusion workshop, whatever, would not welcome Caucasian males. Because, again, that's the uniting of the work environment for the good of the work environment. And so the senior leadership is saying, oh, my gosh, look what's going on out there. You know, our diversity and inclusion is really taking off. You know, they're working together. They, you know, help each other out. And the cultural months are fantastic because we have a different mix of people working on it. And it's not just the group's month, so just the group is working on it. There are so many ways that diversity and inclusion happens in the organization. So the first thing we have already talked about, you know, Caucasian males, insert yourself, and the diversity and inclusion people have an open arm and invite themselves. So, wow, that went quickly, and I'm glad it did. So I am going to move now into my second break, and what I'll do is finish up the second segment and move into our third, because the third segment is when I get down to the storytelling. So you can understand really what I'm talking about, and you can hear it and you can feel it. And that's what, you know, you want to do when you're talking to a group of people. You want that visceral response because you know they got it then. So that's what you're going to get after this next segment. So hang around because I don't want you to miss anything. So we'll be right back.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Are the challenges of economic uncertainty and the pressures of global competition wreaking havoc on your company strategy? To succeed in today's fast-paced, high-tech business landscape, companies must continually adapt while driving innovation and exploiting new opportunities. Listen for Quantum Business Insights with host Olivia Parr Rood. Our guests will include thought leaders from around the world discussing and exploring the concepts that will move companies forward in these uncertain times. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
It's time to take charge of your own career path. But how do you get started? First, tune in to The Career Confidant with Marie Zimanoff. Each show will feature national business leaders, tips and insight from Marie and her guests, career management tools, and a weekly career smart tip. She'll help you move forward, earn that promotion, get hired into the career you want, and brand yourself. The Career Confidant is broadcast live every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
America is heading over a fiscal cliff. Home prices are still receding and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business. This is Business Liaisons with Treste Loving. To reach the host or guests today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to tlovingsimplified@gmail.com. Now, back to Business Liaisons. Connection matters.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. And I just want to put the finishing touches on reason number two, because you're going to really enjoy the third reason, because it's going to be actual stories, and I can't wait to tell you. So senior Caucasian male leaders have a larger responsibility in the diversity and inclusion strategy. And so they must ensure that diversity and inclusion is properly executed. And I don't mean like diversity and inclusion is like A, B, C, D, you must follow these, but need to make sure that it is done well throughout the organization and that they ensure that they don't go to just major diversity and inclusion events, but they do diversity and inclusion every day. And why do I say every day? Because business happens every day, and that means that diversity and inclusion happens every day. So that's it for the first two. Now I'm moving into the last one. And this is the best one because there are two great examples of stories that I was involved in, and hopefully you'll see how diversity and inclusion can be spoken about and can change someone's perspective. And the first situation comes from a Caucasian male, and he came to me to do a photo shoot for a 30-minute TV community service video of me talking about my business and what I could offer people. So the guy was asking me questions, you know, so I could answer on the air just to look, you know, to give me the background so I could be talking about something without actually answering questions. And, of course, the discussion was on diversity and inclusion. So after the shoot, he was packing up his things and he said, I never really knew what diversity meant until you explained some things today. And I thank you. And I'm like, sure, I'm glad you got some clarity out of what I said today. And he just went on to say some people aren't as clear as I was about explaining it. And I said, cool. And then he went on to say, diversity seemed like just a waste, but I don't think that anymore. I really have to worry about, and when he said he didn't think about it that way anymore, I was like, yes. You know, my intent was not to teach anyone about diversity today, but just by going through, we shot for an hour, you know, for editing and everything to get down to a half hour. So just by shooting a hour's worth of a photo shoot, I was amazed that this guy had learned something. So I was like, yay, 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 yay. You know, I was all happy. And he says, but you know, I don't really have to worry about diversity because where I work, there are only Caucasian males. And remember, I told you I was going to address that later on, talking about, oh, it's only Caucasian males, so there is no diversity, right? So he said, yeah, because there's only Caucasian males. And I was like, yes, perfect. I'm so glad he spoke up like that. It was almost like I was like doing the Vulcan mind meld or something with him, and I was putting these things in his head to say. Anyway, and I do love Star Trek, so I hope there are some Trekkies out there. Anyway, so I took the opportunity to give him much more than he expected that day for his photo shoot, since he'd already said he'd learned something. And like I said, I was totally stoked. So I said, can I ask you a couple of questions about your workplace, since you said there's no diversity there? And he said, sure. So I asked him if all the guys in his work environment were from the same regions in the U.S. And he said, no. And I said, are all the guys in your work environment the same age? And he said, no. And I asked, are all the guys in your work environment the same ethnic group? Like, do you have all Italians? Do you have all Germans? Do you have all Irish? And he said, no. And I said, welcome to your diverse work environment. And he actually sat down on the tailgate of his SUV and looked at me and said, wow, that's awesome. He said, I've never heard it like that. I would have never thought about it like that. He goes, that's amazing. He said, I'm going to have to go tell the guys back in the shop that we work in a diverse work environment. I said, please do, please do. So I tell you that story to tell you this. It is easy to bring people into a diverse conversation and bring them into a diverse work environment with as little as one question, or if you have to go further, three questions. Of course, it was me doing it, so I take a little bit of, you know, credit for that, but really, I wanted to show you just how easy that could be. And I have another one, real story. This one's a little bit more edgy, and I told you I like edgy. So don't say I didn't warn you. Now, when I was still in the Navy, I was stationed on the aircraft carrier USS George Washington. And I was the equal opportunity advisor for military, and I was also the diversity officer. And I was face to face with my at least third racist on the ship, and they were all young Caucasian males. And I would always speak to them alone, which some of my friends thought I was crazy. And I'm like, no. I want to speak to them one-on-one. I needed to find out if they had been trolling for others to join up with them. So we were alone in a cramped office, barely meant for two. So that means we were close in proximity. Probably, I don't know how long. Probably, I mean, I don't know how far. Maybe a foot, maybe, from each other. And so I know that made him uncomfortable, but didn't bother me. And so when I started a dialogue with him and asked him what his main issues were being on a ship, and he said, I just don't like the N-word. Of course, that included me. So, you know, I was like, wow, okay. And I asked him, can you tell me why? And he went through a litany of reasons why, you know, I was like, wow, maybe I shouldn't have asked why. And he was from Minnesota, but his parents adopted him. So I'm not sure where he may have started off in Minnesota. He wasn't sure about his birth parents yet, but he just knew he didn't really like his parents. And so he said he started hanging around racist groups. And I said, but as we talked, I noticed he kind of loosened up because he was very tense when he came in my office. But I noticed he kind of loosened up. And we were having good conversation. I was asking him all these questions about himself. He asked me questions about myself. And we actually had some laughter going on in there. We were kind of telling some jokes. And I stopped him and I said, look what's happened. Before, when you came in here, you were tense. You were tense. You had no idea what was going on. You just were like, you were having no part of me. I know that. And now we're asking family questions and all this, and we're even laughing together. And I said, so what happened? I thought you were not going to talk to me at all. And he said, well, I still don't like N-word. He said, but you're different. And I can talk to you, and I can get along with you. And I said to myself, you know, that's not bad. I'll take that. Because in 3 hours, he had come to, I'm not talking to you because you are an N. I'm not talking to you about nothing, to where we were actually laughing, but I was still an N, but I was different. And that's all I wanted him to see, is that all of us who look like me are not terrible people. We really aren't. We didn't meet his stereotypes. So no matter when, where, or who I've encountered, those who are ignorant of diversity and inclusion, I give them the best I have, and I usually get a positive response. And I, like I said, I loved my job. I did. I loved my job. And I actually, on that ship, I guess I talked to about 6 races total. Some of them started coming to me about the other blacks, and it was the same. It's like they didn't see me as them because I was different, because I sat down and I talked to them. And I got them to see a little bit that all who look like me are not the same. And that's all I could do for them at that point. But it was enjoyable, and some days it was hard, but I wouldn't have traded for the world. And that's how I got to where I am today, to be able to talk to anyone about anything, because I can come from their perspective as well. So that's what you get when you work with me. You get all that expertise, all that experience that you deserve when you need someone to work on your diversity inclusion strategies. So I wanted to get that in there as well. And like I said, it's a bit edgy, but it's good. It's real good. And I'm glad you guys hung in there with me while I told my edgy stories. And I hope you will remember that no matter who you're talking to, they may just be ignorant of something, and all you have to do is educate. And if you don't feel comfortable educating, send them to me, and I will do that. Okay, before I wrap the show, I want to thank you all. You all truly rock. I mean that. It was a great show. Hopefully you thought too. You thought that too. And I want to leave you with what I always leave you with, because I think this is important. Remember, diversity is the link that unites us all. So take a look around and see who you're connected to. It's powerful. So take care. We'll talk soon. Ciao.
Thank you for being a part of Business Liaisons. Connection matters. Be sure to join Treste Loving again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, for another show on the Voice America Business Channel. Remember, it's the connections that you make that matter.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.